Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. And man, oh man, the Caps were not the better team on the ice last night. B, we were both in the building.
Yep.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. They got our hustle, brother. And that's the whole thing about it. You can't be loose with the puck. You can't get out hustled. You look at what the Panthers did, the Hurricanes did. They got to every loose puck. They chased them down. They were passing precise. Their passing was precise. Our passing was off. It's like we were, like in basketball, they dribble off their knees. We were throwing the puck everywhere and couldn't get it on the stick.
Like dribbling off their foot.
Yeah, it was all types of things. And, you know, in this at this point, this is not the Montreal Canadiens, a very young team. This is a team that's as big as we are, okay? And they can play. They can take our physicalness. They can rough it. So we have to be a little bit more, a little better than what we were last, because last night is not going to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, B. I thought, you know, Washington might be a tick bigger, but Carolina looked a hell of a lot faster last night.
I mentioned this earlier. Clearing the puck, okay?
Dude.
I don't understand. I have watched a lot of games, and everybody just flicks it over the top. We try to make a perfect pass, and we pass it to them. They'll intercept it, whatever. But everybody, they just clear it on us every damn time.
Yeah, if you only looked at the box score from last night, it looked like Washington was kind of in control.
No.
You know, they held the lead until late in the third period when it got tied up.
Look at the shots, though.
I mean, a lot of that is a result of Logan Thompson playing brilliantly. And I recognize he took the loss last night, but he played brilliantly.
He was saving bad.
The game.
He was saving the game. He was saving. Like I always say, you have to help your goalie out. He wasn't helping his goalie. They weren't helping their goalie out.
No way. I mean, I think a lot of these numbers really kind of explain what happened. They were outshot 3-1, basically.
Yeah.
The Canes had 33 shots to the Caps 14. I believe they went 16 minutes in the third period without a shot. And it wasn't like they were being selective with their shots. They did not have possession.
Yeah.
They couldn't control the puck in the Kane zone. And a lot of it started by their inability to clear the defensive zone, to your point, Brian.
Totally.
And Chris Kerwin, my photog from NBC4, has played hockey his whole life. And he was telling me in the Montreal series, his biggest concern was that they were never generating offense from the defensive zone. They could never get a turnover, get a rebound off a shot, whatever, and then convert that to a breakaway going the other way, even like a 3-on-2 or something, not necessarily like a 1-on-1 or whatever. And you saw that time and time again. They just could not maintain possession. And then when they do have to clear it, it's like they're asking for these miracle clears off the boards or going up over guys' heads. And then eventually...
Well, they refuse to go up over people's head.
Often. Right. Because Carolina was just on top of them. Obviously, the giveaway at the end of the game, at the end of the regulation in the third period, that resulted in the Slavin goal was the first one. Mm-hmm. It was really, really bad, and you saw it happen. I was sitting with Bees in those crazy MGM seats right on the ice, and it was right in front of us. The shots, I think, tell a huge part of the story. 33-14, Carolina. But the giveaways, takeaways, and this isn't a direct, like you are, my brain, and I would assume yours, is kind of wired in a football mode where giveaways, takeaways can often determine the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that simple. Carolina gave the puck away 12 times, but had 8 takeaways. Washington was 6 takeaways, 13 giveaways. So that's almost half of that. Like, it's just the numbers are staggering, man.
Yeah. I mean, they have to be better with the puck. Listen, and I know, you know, you get the straight hockey people will tell you what you don't know. But you know what? I know a lot of those people sit around me and Amit. They've been going to games forever. They know it. And all they say is exactly what I think and say. So whether you think I know it or not, I know one thing. If we play like that, we're going to be sitting there. We're going to be going fishing real quick.
Dude, if they play like they did last night, I mean, I don't know that there's a game 5. The good part about 7-game series and about having a smart coach like Spencer Carberry, I was in postgame with him last night. He was pissed.
He should be.
So, yeah. I wonder what, if any... You know, kind of like lineup changes you can make. And we're going to ask smart hockey people. We're going to ask John Walton and Neil Greenberg those exact questions here in a minute. I wonder what I won't allow for. Somebody asked Tom Wilson this last night in the dressing room, and he just said, that's an excuse. I don't buy it. The fact that the Canes got one extra day of rest, to me, is nonsense.
Yeah.
Because... It'd be one thing if the Caps basically had a back-to-back and the Canes got 2 nights off. They both had more than 5 days. Like, the Caps got 5 days off, the Canes got 6. I don't think the rest thing is a thing.
That doesn't make one bit of damn difference. I mean, okay. Listen, if they go out there and they were playing against Montreal, they were younger. So they were getting rest and they were playing. So this game here, if we had played like we played against Montreal, and we were more careful with the puck, I guarantee you we win that game last night. Doesn't make a difference about how much rest somebody gets. You know, that is, just like Tom stated, that's an excuse. Point blank, that's what that is.
I don't know. What the crowd, to me, when Protas scored in the second, was super loud. And the crowd is catching some heat from last night.
Why?
I think they were ready to go. The vibe I got being in there, they were ready to go. There was just nothing to cheer for.
Who's giving the crowd heat?
I don't know. Maybe Canadians. I've kind of seen that of a lot of the some of these NHL crowds have been bananas.
I didn't care less if the crowd is
last
loud
night.
Or not.
It wasn't bananas to begin.
You know what? Crowds are loud when things go well, point blank. And the sound of the crowd doesn't change up much because the Bell Center is louder than any damn center out there. And the Cavs beat that ass in where they were. Okay, so let's stop the crowd. Like fans, I love y'all. But you don't decide what happens on the ice. You may have a little impact on somebody getting a little revved up. But when the people are out there playing, if the Caps played better hockey, they win the game. No matter what the noise was in the stands.
I agree with you there, B. I the loudest crowd I heard this year, frankly, was the divisional round in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
That
and
joint
how bad
was,
how bad they got whipped?
That joint was nuts.
It was.
I'm just. I'm not here.
We couldn't hear each other. I was in your ear talking to you one time. You're like, what? What? I can't hear you. Right. I'm talking about. We talk about inches away from each other, and you couldn't hear me.
It's for me. It is what Washington. Washington allowed Carolina, and there are certainly more like hockey terms for all this, right? Washington allowed Carolina to dominate the game and play their style, and it was really interesting for me. So I got to sit in the postgame interviews with Rod Brendamore, the Canes coach, and then the two guys that scored for Carolina last night. And they said repeatedly, they're like, yeah, I mean, our goal, it was Stankoven and Slavin were the two guys that scored. And it's funny because Stankoven's a big unit of a dude. Mm-hmm. And Slavin is built like White Bryan, like he's tiny.
Yeah.
And it just shows, you know, hockey, there's room for everybody if you can do something right out there.
There you go.
But they both were super clear on their philosophy. It was, we're throwing everything at the net. We just want to get to the net. And in turn, if that's your philosophy of just getting to the net, getting everything into their zone, into their face, cause trouble for them, and you start to have success with it, that's how you just maintain possession of the puck the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're just being the aggressor the whole time. And I feel like that's what the Caps do and just didn't do well last night.
They didn't do it last night. Look, and there were periods now. There were points. Leonard didn't even get a shot he was at a breakaway. He didn't get a shot off.
Yeah.
Tom, two times, breakaways and lost the puck. Ovi, to me, seemed slow last night. I'm being honest with you. And I love Ovi.
Right.
But even when he was close to the puck, he did not get the stick on it and come away with it. It's always was like it rolled away or somebody else got it.
Even that first power play they had, because they had a power play, I think, in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they got one shot off, like in the totality of the two-minute power play.
That makes your goalie look good, too. When you're not firing pucks at him, you look great. But you know what you can do? You can be so much of a damn nag and a gnat to a team to where they can't get shots off. That is what Hurricanes were last night. They were so much of a nag, we couldn't get shots off. So that goalie had he got the first one fired on him, and then all of a sudden, nothing was coming at him anymore. We had 11 shots at that point. Right when the time he scored, it was 11 shots. Then we had a whole period, it was one damn shot on goal.
It was something. So, B, we were talking about this. We met up with Cody Betts, the tech executive, LD, AD, mm-hmm. beforehand. I had a quick bite with you guys, and we were just, you know, chopping it up, getting ready for the game. And we were talking about Coach Carberry, and I really think if you look at the Ovechkin era for the Caps, they have had a bunch of subpar coaches. It's been a bunch of – there's been a couple just straight-up jokers and then a bunch of subpar dudes. Obviously, Trotz was the real deal, but they weren't able to – I think some egos got in play there, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think Carberry is the best coach. Trotz has earned it, but Carberry seems to be on a trajectory to be like a legit top coach, right? And I think he came up through the Caps organization and feels loyalty to the team. And I just feel like he is able to motivate the boys, speak at a really intelligent level, and like get down to business when he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, so in his post game last night, I believe it was Bailey from the Post asked the first question. I asked a question. He was asked a few different questions, and he just gave one word answers. Yes, no. He was pissed.
Yeah.
And I want to give credit.
And he should be.
Yeah. Right.
Let's be real. When people look at the game, their mindset is that players weren't ready. You think those coaches didn't get them ready? You think the coaches didn't tell them everything that they did wrong last night? You think somebody didn't tell them to be looking for that or they have to do that?
So I posted this video because I want to give credit. I believe it was Mike Vogel who was on the show with us last week who asked the question that finally got Carberry. I think he didn't want to say much because he was worried he would say a lot.
Say the wrong thing.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like when you're real pissed off and you don't want to flip out and so you try to just control yourself, that was the mode I thought Carberry was in last night, but he did open up a little bit to Vogel.
Did they just out-execute you guys tonight as far as breakouts and doing all the little things that go into winning a game?
Vogues, if we sat here and went through the whole game from breakout to getting through the neutral zone to forecheck to wall play, we could... It wasn't good, and that's the bottom line. Our entire game was not good, and we'll, like I said, we'll regroup and we'll get ready for game two.
Basically what happened in that, when someone asks a question that is just to the point, you can't deny it. You have to answer it in an honest way. Vogues, he wanted to say, Vogues, you absolutely, I can't say the words I would use on the air, but he wanted to tell him exactly that. You were absolutely right. You know what I mean? That's exactly right. What happened. Out-executed, out-hustled, out-played.
Yeah.
And you know who reacts to straight, honest stuff better? Players.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure Carberry, after he was asked that question, if he hadn't told him already, he damn sure going to let him know today. This reporter knows exactly what happened. And I'm telling you all exactly what happened. I don't want to hear no pointing at each other. We all got outplayed. We all stuck up the joint. Only person that could get anything good is Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson was really good. And you know what?
You give him something. But you got to help him out. You know, he was not helped out. He saved a bunch of people throughout that game. Then all of a sudden, hell, he can't be a magician every time.
No, dude. You can never – when you're outshot 3-1 like that, he was in constant pressure.
Hell, constant. Yeah.
All right, B, I feel like we could both use a laugh here. Mm-hmm. Look at the stream real quick. So I'm working from home today, folks. I got a dentist appointment. I haven't been to the dentist in a while. So I am not dressed up, folks. I'm sitting on my porch.
You're never dressed up.
Yo, Scotty G just tweeted me. He said, JP on the stream looking like Cody roofied him last night. That made me laugh. Also, so I'm attempting this playoff beard. Today might be the demise of the playoff beard. It starts to get real itchy. I don't know people with beards if you just push through that day or two.
You got to fight through that first day or two.
I hate being itchy, Brian.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This song seems fitting for the moment. Certainly not the start any of us thought the Capitals would get out to last night in game one of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Carolina Hurricanes. Helping us make sense of ugly night for the Rock the Red Boys is voice of the Washington Capitals, who you can hear right here on 106.7 The Fan, our friend Mr. John Walton.
Hey, Dub.
John, ugly stuff last night, man. Did the Caps not show up, or was Carolina that much better, or maybe a combination of both?
I wouldn't say they didn't show up. I would say Carolina was dominant, and it's weird to say because the game went to overtime, but I would say that's the most lopsided overtime loss I have ever seen, because in every way, with puck possession, with zone time, scoring chances, if you name it, Carolina did it. But I do know this, over the course of the last, well, let's just say 2018, because it's always a fun reference point. When we look back on 7 years ago, we think of Evgeny Kuznetsov, and we think of coming from down 3-2 against Tampa Bay, and we think of Lars Eller. But the truth is, in every playoff series, there's a ton of adversity, and if it were easy, then everybody would do it. And is that the best Carolina has to offer? Yes. What you saw last night, and, you know, I was talking with Grant Danny yesterday and a little bit with Kevin Sheehan and around just talking about how what things to look for in game one. I said if you had 5-6 shots against in the first period, then the defensive effort was good. And if you had 12, 13, 14, 15 against, that means things weren't going very well. And sure enough, that's exactly how it played out, because last night they get 12 shots, but there were a lot of quality chances. You're not going to see Nick Dowd get cleaned out on the faceoff dot like he did last night for an entire series. You're not going to see Pierre-Luc Dubois have that to happen too. There was a lot that went wrong, but I think in the course of a seven-game series, what you need is you've got to be able to ramp your game up. And can the Capitals do that? They absolutely can. Is tomorrow night's game two a very pivotal point in the series? Let's be honest. Yeah, it is. Caps need to win tomorrow because you can't go to Raleigh and win two games. That team won 31 games on home ice in a regular season, and you don't want to put yourself in that position. But I am confident that with this team and what we've seen all year, it's businesslike. You know, they get punched in the mouth, and they come back, and they find a way, and I think they're going to be much better tomorrow night in game two.
John, they were a little – like last night, the puck possession, they were a little loose with it. They kept missing pucks and losing them. Is that like nerves, or is just it just happens?
I don't think it's nerves. I think it's a much better team. I mean, when you look at what Montreal was in the first round, the Capitals were clearly the better team, and by definition, right? They were the number one team in the league, or number one team in the conference, and they're playing the second wild card, so they should be by definition better. Carolina was right behind them. They did finish second, but they had a tremendous year. They were very good down the stretch. They were very good at home. And stylistically, the way they play is in your face all the time. So there's a little bit of an adjustment to a better team, quite frankly, and needing to ramp up your game. And getting to the second round, there are a lot of guys in this room that have not been to this point. Tom Wilson knows what this is about, John Carlson, Alex Ovechkin, but you know, for the most part, there's a lot of guys that haven't been in the second round. So I'm not going to totally dismiss nerves, because I think you realize the stage gets bigger when there's only eight teams left. We've seen this before. A lot of second round appearances for this team, and we've seen a lot of games that didn't go well, or even times against Pittsburgh back in the day where it did go well in the beginning of the series, and then Pittsburgh adjusted. In a seven-game series, the best team rises to the top. Carolina was the best team last night, but it doesn't mean they're the best in the series. The Caps need to show better, but, you know, I'm pretty confident they can do that.
Talking with our friend John Walton, voice of the Caps. You can listen to Walton's calls of every game right here on 106.7 The Fan. John, one concern I've had, and you know Kerwin just as well as I do, and that he's a puck knower. He has pointed this out to me since the Canadiens series. The inability to clear the defensive zone with any sort of like offensive generation, that they're just not getting breakouts, and the turnovers are an ugly result of that. That is not something unique to last night. Have you noticed that? Is that a concern for you?
It is to an extent. I think what you saw last night that maybe wasn't as evident in the Montreal series, but was very evident last night, is the Caps spent a lot of time pinned in their own zone, stuck in behind the net, you know, the quick chips to the wall and being able to get it up and out of the zone. Not a lot. And you saw Carolina relentless on the forecheck and being able to turn over pucks and turn them into shot attempts. The shot attempts last night for Carolina were ungodly. 94-34 is no way to go through life. That has to stop. So being able to get pucks out quickly and get those quick touches up the boards, making better puck decisions. Alexei Protas had a great goal last night. He also had a bad puck decision that led to the game-tying goal. And those have got to be smarter. And I think when Spencer Carberry came down last night, that's as angry as I've seen him in 2 years. Very almost Tortorellian in answer on a few occasions. And I say that because Spencer cares tremendously, and I don't think we saw anything quite like that this year and at a big point in the game. I'll tell you what's going to happen today, though, is they're going to address all of those things that went wrong, and they will be better in game two. But I think that is, you're right, that has to be of paramount importance. The forecheck last night for Washington, getting pucks in and being able to generate their own chances, non-existent, and that must change. You have to be able, with the Dubois line, McMichael was so good in the first round of being able to use his speed, get in on pucks, and then turn it into offense. You saw the bottom six do it, I thought, very well. Ryan Leonard led him in shots last night, and none of his shots were particular in quality. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this, he got pucks to the net, which is better than a lot of guys did last night. So I think that line being able to continue to press, use their speed, use those young legs, whether you're McMichael, Leonard, those guys, the veterans can certainly be there as well. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois will be better. He was outstanding in the first round. I didn't think he was good as good last night. Nick Dowd had a lot of trouble at the dot. I mean, look at it this way, guys. Pretty much everything went wrong, and they went to overtime. Yeah. So, right. I mean, if you can say, look, we cleaned up six things, and Logan Thompson was outstanding last night. Yeah. Your goaltender was not the problem last night. And in a playoff series, that's going to take you a long way. Logan deserved a better fate last night. He absolutely did. But I think his teammates will play for him and be better in game number two.
Jay, I don't know if you know this. Like, a lot of people tried to write off. I look at the fact that the Hurricanes, they throw a lot of pucks at the net. Some of them are not quality. But still, most goals may come off of rebounds, right?
Oh, the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
So if
they're throwing them up there, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't nearly enough. They didn't make Freddie Anderson work nearly as hard last night as they needed to. And it starts with first shots, and they didn't have a lot of those. But think of Brandon Duhaime and what he did in the last two games against Montreal. One of them's into an empty net, but going to the front of the net and making things happen, the secondary scoring, that's so important. Getting goals from 2 feet out, 3 feet out, paying the price. Caps never really got to that area last night. It wasn't lack of effort, but they were kept to the outside and kind of beaten at their own game. You can't get to the inside and generate offense when you don't have the puck. You've got to hit the puck first. And being able to get it out of your zone and try and create that at the other end of the ice, easier said than done. This isn't a lack of effort. This is a lack of execution. And I think when you look at what happens in game two, execution is going to be key. And it starts in front of Logan Thompson and being able to break pucks out along the boards, get it up the middle, wherever you find a seam to be able to get some speed and get through center. Carolina, I thought, was just relentless defensively. Mm-hmm. Even when they did get the puck out, there was always a guy standing right there. That's Rod Brind'Amour hockey. You're going to have a lot of guys who are in perfect position, not only to take away shot lanes when you're in the offensive end, but they know what you breathe in your own zone. They will find you and neutralize. They're all over the ice, and you know, you've got to be able to match that work ethic and that will and want.
John, last thing from me. the power play last night, and maybe it was just indicative of the entire performance, but like just really not much could get going. How do they turn that thing around to what has been so, so dangerous for Washington for 2 decades?
Years, yep.
You know, I'm sorry, JV. What was the question again? I'm sorry I missed that.
Just the power play last night. I mean, in the first period, it seemed like they got a shot off the first power play. It just never, like, it's one thing if Carolina's throwing the puck at everything moving, but then Washington maybe gets a penalty and they're able to, like, assert some control. It didn't even seem like they could do it then.
Yeah, it's special teams, and I said this before the series started. I mean, special teams need to be better. The 5-on-5 game against Montreal was excellent. I don't think there was really much issue with any of the games, save maybe a couple of third periods and Montreal with some pushes. But on the whole, in the first round, I thought the 5-on-5 was fine. What wasn't fine, at least statistically, and I know that some in the room and just talking with some of the penalty killers saying, you know, look, yeah, they gave up 5 goals. But, you know, here's what happened on this play. Here's what happened on this play. You know, that's fine, but you gave up 5 goals. And against Carolina, if you lose the special teams battle, you will lose the series. So, to your point, being better on the power play, making the most of those opportunities, and being able to do better on the penalty kill. And I did like the fact with Protas on the PK last night, they are better. I with he and Wilson together, that's a pair that goes over the boards a lot together. And perform very well together. So I think having him back, you know, he's still getting his legs underneath him. It was only his second game. Special teams need to step up. There's no doubt. To your point, more shots, more second opportunities. Freddie Anderson, the shot he gave up to Prost, it was a great shot by Pro, but I didn't think it was a particularly great goal against for Anderson. Make him work. He's coming off injury, and you didn't really throw many pucks at him. You get more pucks at him, I think you're going to have a better result.
Absolutely. Walton, I feel like you're the right barometer for this. Last night was ugly, but these are 7-game series for a reason. The sky is not falling, correct?
The sky is not falling. And I would, again, you point to 2018 and not to, you know, draw comparisons because you never know, you know, the Caps could get on a run or they could be done in this series. But every single series, think about Columbus in the first round. This team was dead in 2018. They lost the first 2 games on home ice, and Columbus was about to run them out of the gym. And then they never lost again. They got a double overtime off the Lars Eller boot in Game 3 and never looked back. These things happen through the course of a 7-game series. That's why they aren't 1-game playoffs, because anything can happen in one game. Sustained over the course of 7, look, they've been a great team all year. There's no reason to think that's going to change now, but Carolina's a good team, and they want to win the Cup too. And whether it's in D.C. or whether it's in Raleigh, you better bring your best. I mean, Spencer was saying that prior to the series. He said it even during the Montreal series. Nobody's just going to hand it to you. They want to win the Cup just as bad as you do. You just have to elevate, and 7-game series. Somebody's got to get to 4. They only won 1 last night.
Yep.
John, thank you for the time, buddy. We'll be listening Thursday.
You bet, fellas. Thanks. And right. B. Mitch, go listen to some Prince on the way home. You'll feel better.
I will. Thank you, brother.
Okay.
That's our friend John Walton joining via the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. If you want to follow Walton, he's a good follow. It's at John Walton PXP. Nobody go anywhere. We're going to ask the aquarium, how concerned are the Caps fans out there? Plus, we're giving away Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul tickets next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Uh-oh. Here's what I can tell you. I went to Jamaica for spring break, my senior year of college. And Sean Paul was hot in these streets, man. It was Sean Paul and 50 Cent, every other song at every club you went to. I have much love for Sean Paul. Caller number 10 right now, 800-636-1067. You win two tickets to see Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul, the Good Vibes Only Tour, with special guest DaBaby. Friday, July 25th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Again, I will confess there is no cool way for a 43-year-old white dude to say DaBaby. There just isn't. Now, B, I also saw Wiz Khalifa at Coachella a number of years ago, and he was that was fun. More importantly, Brian, we're going to get back to the hockey in just a second. The Cowboys are trading for George Pickens. Pickens, undoubtedly a good player. I'm not trying to knock the player.
Yeah, he is.
But he's also nuts.
100%.
What do you make of the trade?
Man, listen. There are certain people, certain teams that trade people. And when it happens, I understand Pickens is unbelievably talented. But he'll walk off the field on you. He got a little Antonio Brown in him. Dude can play. But he's a little different. They traded for DK Metcalf. They had both of those guys together. They felt it would be better to let him go, send him to another team, and they'll have better success. Okay? He's in Dallas now. CeeDee Lamb is the guy. How long will he?
CeeDee Lamb's also paid.
How long will he figure out that he gonna allow that to just happen without making some noise?
This is a good question, B.
You know, so I understand. Yes, super talented. Not afraid of that. Hell no.
Well, and so you're trading for Pickens going into the last year of his rookie deal. He was a second rounder. Which surprised some people because the talent was out of this world. But I think he got it in the second round because there's some volatility, some combustibility.
Oh, yeah.
But B, the way I see this, if you are trading a future Friday night pick, which they did, Dallas has given up, I want to say, a third, correct? And then there's some pick swap stuff involved. If you're trading away a third rounder for a guy that only has 1 year on his deal, you're working to get a new deal done, right?
You would hope.
Otherwise, it's a bad move.
Yeah.
But
then again, I mean, let's be real now. How many third rounders will come in and have his talent?
So, sure. I'm not saying it's a bad value. I think you can argue the Cowboys are getting a good trade. But it also means you're about to pay this dude.
You like, would think? Maybe they're saying, listen, let's see how he acts for this year. Most people would be on their best behavior for a year to get a deal.
He may not be.
Right.
Well, there's also the dangling participle of Micah Parsons. Like, 11's still out there without his long-term deal. And you trade for this receiver, and I would presume you got to pay him. I mean, maybe you don't do it this month, but I think you're doing it before September 1st. And it's not the same. You're not paying the same amount of money. I recognize that. And Pickens, you're kind of paying on potential still at this point. He has 1,000-yard season in 3 years in the NFL. Never scored more than 5 touchdowns. Yeah, you could easily argue that Dak Prescott's the best quarterback he's going to play with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, last year between Justin Fields and Russ Wilson, he went for 900 yards and 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That is not like incredible production. So you're paying on potential. And Parsons seems to comment on everybody's contract across the league and on every personnel move across the league. Never a dull moment in Dallas, dude.
Oh, no. And I'm happy for them because they're chasing now.
Yeah,
they are doing what we used to do. And I want them to continue. And we're going to keep just building this thing methodically. Handle business.
We're going to run out of time because there's a Nats game today. How about the Pacers last night, B?
Hey, they up 2-0, baby. What the hell? Halliburton killing these people, man.
That's Jeff's guy. Jeff's probably dealing with Sean Paul tickets, if I had to guess. When we come back, Neil Greenberg joins the show. We're going to have a real conversation about probably the numbers behind both the Caps' terrible loss last night and what the Caps need to do to get back in this. I might sneak a little what George Pickens brings to Dallas in with Greenberg. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. Got to be a badass if you walk out to Iron Man. Only one man I know can get that done. It's our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, everybody's analytics man. Hello, Greenberg. We saw a not score-reflective thumping last night. What did you make of Caps Canes game one?
Well, Carolina's doing what it's done pretty much for the whole year, which was control the offensive zone when they're in it. They pepper a lot of shots on net. They're a very analytically driven organization. I've known their GM, Eric Tulsky, since he was a blogger in his mom's basement for over a decade now. You know, this is a team that is going to take advantage of their roster. It's going to take advantage of their line matchups, and it's going to tilt the ice in their favor. And we saw that last night starting in the first period. Even though, you know, there were no goals scored, Washington was still outshot 12-5. I think that this is a tough matchup for Washington because this is a team that just loves to dominate the puck in the offensive zone.
Them, like you said, they pepper the net. That's all by plan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their whole thing is to – their roster's built to take advantage of the times when they have to puck. They're very good at controlling the entry across the blue line. They're very good at getting it to their players in the right spots. And they led the league in offensive zone time this season. They're really good in the high-danger areas, both on the power play and during even strength. And I think we saw last night their penalty kill is really good. So I think this is just a well-rounded team. And I know a lot of people were wondering why Carolina was favored in this matchup. Well, you know, this is why. I mean, they're not like a huge favorite. It was like a 55-45 split. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can see that they are a really good hockey team that needs to be taken seriously.
clearly they're a good team. And I think we all kind of knew that just from the regular season games. You know, technically they split. One of the Caps wins was a shootout win, but it was also kind of clear. I mean, that five there's a million factors because the Caps played Carolina twice off back-to-backs, and it wasn't always LT in goal. But Greenberg, recognizing Carolina's good and the kind of the contrast of styles might be difficult for Washington, I also think the Caps just played bad and could be way better. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're in the playoffs. You need to have your best games. I mean, you're not playing the, you know, the Bostons and Chicagos of the world anymore. You're playing really good teams. You're playing cup-caliber teams in the second round, and you absolutely need to minimize the mistakes. So, yeah, Washington's a really good team. And this isn't to say that they can't win this series, but, you know, I thought that the 2-1 score really wasn't reflective. This could have easily been like 4-1, right? I mean, this is you know, something that Washington is going to need to correct and make sure that they're much tighter defensively. Because as I said, I mean, Carolina will make you pay if you let them keep the puck in the offensive zone for a long period of time.
I tend to agree with what you're saying right there because I believe if Logan Thompson wasn't in net, they have 4 or 5 goals.
8-1.
He was unbelievable early on. And you watch them, their goalie's sitting there and not being stressed at all. And I've always felt that the team playing better, you know, defensively can help out the goalie. And they have to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is it's an interesting situation. The expected goals, so based on the shots that were taken, where they were taken, whether or not they were on the power play or at even strength, et cetera, score should have been like 4-2, maybe 5-3. So, you know, Carolina didn't score as much as they probably should. And if you play that game again, you know, they're going to have a hard time. But even if you look at just like the scoring chances, I mean, you know, Carolina was all over the place on the, you know, up front in the net. And, you know, Logan Thomas absolutely needed, you know, every ounce of those 30 some odd saves. But again, I mean, Washington's also got to make sure that their chances count as well. Cause I don't think, you know, there's not going to be too many of these 2-1 games. I think, Carolina's going to start running up the score a little bit.
Yeah, man. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at N Greenberg on Twitter and Instagram. Greenberg joins us from the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. I don't want to sound like monotone on this. Do you feel like the Caps can turn this thing around?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I mean, they're a very good coach team. They have a lot of good players, starting with Alex Ovechkin on down. You know, this is – look, the Caps can score in bunches, too. I mean, if game two is, you know, 7-2 in Washington's favor, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that's really out of the ordinary. I mean, this is what this team is capable of. They lose in overtime, which is tough. But, you know, it wasn't like they got blown out. They did get blown out in some of the underlying metrics, but – look, Carberry's a good coach. He's going to see what's going on. He's going to make adjustments. Both coaches are going to make adjustments. He's got, you know, he's going to be home again, so he gets the benefit of last change to put his players in the best possible position to succeed. So I think it's going to be fine. I wouldn't sound any alarm bells yet. I will say the team that wins the first game in the 7-game series wins about 68% of the time, so it's definitely not, you know, the best possible spot. But, you know, as I said, Washington's a well-coached team, a lot of players that can do the right things. There's no reason to panic yet. They weren't going to sweep them.
In other sports, we look at the referees, we know the crews. I don't know all the referees in hockey, but I know that those referees missed a lot of damn calls against Carolina last night.
They do. It's a very fast sport. But there's a lot of calls that are missed.
Last night, it was like 3 or 4 trips. Carolina, yeah, Washington, and they called none of them.
And there's, you know, there's some analytics stuff out there that shows that the referees try to even out the power plays, and they, you know, they do have a bias in that sense. So yeah, I mean, you're going to find you'll be able to find fault with the referees. I will tell you one thing.
That number 74 last night, I wanted to jump across the glass and whoop his ass.
Well, I would almost guarantee our pal Alan May was right there with you, because he is a big proponent of referee, slander. Not slander. Maybe just
referee screwing the game
criticism.
So
constructive criticism.
Yeah. Just let him know.
Yeah.
I got to watch the first period with Alan. Well, like, kind of Alan adjacent. Like, he was there and I was there, but he didn't care that I was there, if that makes sense. He was very, very
I've been
much
there, yeah.
In.
I've done some shows with him. He's definitely watching a different game in his own spot.
Right. Now, I was also with Brent Johnson, and Johnny and I were talking throughout. Alan very locked in, not pleased. He was not
yeah,
a pleased person.
I heard it from here. I've done those. Brent's a chatter. And then he'll chat with Alan about stuff that I never saw, because they watch a different game.
We're not privy to that.
And then a lot of yelling from Alan, who I love, by the way.
Yeah, that's my dog right there.
Yeah, Mayday's good people. I think it's going to be quite interesting going forward with this thing. I did think. And I asked Wilson about this afterwards in the dressing room, and he took the high road, I think probably because he doesn't want to get fined. I did think the call in the third period to give Carolina a power play that they ended up not scoring on was pretty weak. I think the dude just dropped a stick to make it look like a way worse slash.
The high stick?
Yeah. What was the power play in the third period?
That was on Ovi, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, the slashing.
I'm talking about the slashing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they call early in the third period, yeah.
Early in the third period, yeah. I thought that. I think
that was straight stankola BS.
Well, you weren't alone, I'm sure.
Yeah. Give me one key. This is perhaps stupid and oversimplification, Greenberg. But I thought when Ovi scored early in game five, it just set the tone for the Caps to kind of run away with that thing and feel comfortable. And when they got nothing on that early power play, I know they got the one look, but I feel like they got to, especially now down 0-1 with at home, they need early success against this Hurricanes team on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, they need to get that, they need to get that top line going for sure. And, you know, when you're looking at what Carolina likes to do, spend a lot of time in the offensive zone, you know, if you have a one or two goal lead, you're able to play a little bit tighter defensively and just do a little bit more to pressure the puck because you have that cushion. You know, you take that away and Carolina becomes kind of like a freewheeling skating team. Mm-hmm. It makes it much more difficult. So, you know, absolutely. And this is across all the NHL, right? The team that score first generally is in a much better position because it does change the complexity of the game in terms of how you're deploying players and how you're deploying them on the ice.
When you look at the game last night, I think three early, two Tom Wilson just lost the puck. And then Leonard, later, he had a breakaway, and he never got a shot off without anybody really in his way.
Yeah, you need – look, we've said this before, right? And it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. Like, you need your best players to be your best players, especially in the playoffs, because the room for error is so much smaller. Mm-hmm. They're going to need their big guys to – we're going to have to be talking a lot about – you know, Ovechkin and Strom and Protas and Wilson and McMichael, like, to the good stuff, right? Because that's really what they need to come out for, like, a 5-1 victory and everyone can kind of breathe a sigh of relief and not be so worried.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here from the Washington Post, I am going to perhaps jam in a little bit of football conversation here. I follow you on Twitter. I always find it interesting. at N Greenberg. And Greenberg joins us via the Rude guest hotline. If it ain't rude, it ain't right. Speaking of not being right, the Steelers are really good at drafting wide receivers that perform well in Pittsburgh and not other places. You put this chart together, and I'm going to ask your permission now if I can screenshot that and tweet it out, and I will credit you. I think that would be better than me retweeting it. I think that'll get more eyeballs on it. But basically, you looked at the success rate for a lot of Steelers receivers that then went elsewhere, and it's overwhelmingly bad when they go elsewhere. 3 out of 5, quite bad. And you didn't even include Antonio Brown, which would be like its own subcategory. I asked that by saying, what do you make of this George Pickens trade?
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting one. I think this is caveat emptor. It reminds me of when Philadelphia traded their franchise quarterback Donovan McNabb to an in-division rival, and it's like, okay, like what? You know, this never happens. Like, why are you doing this? Like, what's the real story? That ended up not working out, and we've seen kind of the same situation. I mean, it's give credit to Mike Tomlin for being able to put people in the right position to succeed. And also knowing when to cut bait. And, we've seen, whenever you've seen this type of trend in the past, you at least have to take, a moment and say, okay, like, what is there, there's got to be something wrong, right? Because the NFL's whole purpose is to accumulate good talent, right? Not get rid of good talent.
Yep.
So the fact that they're letting him go says a lot. I think it's interesting for Dallas. I mean, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens is a pretty good duo to have, and I'm not really sure what the Steelers are doing now. But I don't think it's going to make a difference. I don't think Dallas is going to be competitive in the division. I think it's clearly Philadelphia 1, Washington 2. I think this is more of like a Jerry Jones move. Like, look at me, I'm making stuff happen. Than it is improving the football team.
I basically said it's what Washington used to do.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
We've changed, and I'm like, you know what? Let them have that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You want to take the chance. Everyone thinks that they can change them, right? Everyone thinks that they can fix the player that's probably broken. If Jerry Jones wants to do it, no one's going to stop him because that's his decision. But, again, I think this is more – maybe ego is not the right word, but more of a ego trade than it is an actual improve the football team trade.
I tend to agree with you. Now I'm going to ask one other question that might have me a little bit nervous.
Oh boy.
If a road team wins game one in the Stanley Cup playoffs, what is the percentage they win the series?
It's probably pretty good. I know it's 68% overall, so it's got to be at least close to that. It's going to be pretty large.
You don't need to hear anything else if it's 68%.
Yeah, but 68%, and a lot of that is probably home teams.
That's home team?
No, the team that wins. Yeah, so it's going to be probably much higher. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Let's see.
We have it here. NHL. I can't find it anywhere.
Whatever. You can find it on your own.
Here it is. So, it's 60%.
Oh, it went down.
All right. So
yeah,
that
60%
doesn't change everything.
To do it. So they were 55% before. Again, we weren't going to see a sweep in all likelihood. So, they took the first one on the road. They weren't going to be swept. It probably is going to be a little bit of a series. I wouldn't panic just yet.
Okay, good. Last, and this can be super quick. The Pacers are up 2-0 on Cleveland. You think they knocked them
surprise.
Out?
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the road teams in general are doing well. They all won last night, I think for the first time. Well, they all won in this round so far, and against the spread, they're like on a 9-1 streak. I think that this is, you know, this is what the NBA wanted. I mean, in terms of parity, I mean, the good teams are good, and you know, these records that we see are largely because you have the Utahs and Washingtons in the mix. You know, you take those out, and you're looking at just, you know, the top couple teams in the NBA. They're probably a lot closer than their record suggests. Am I surprised? Yeah. But, you know, I think this is the NBA is a different type of environment now, which allows a team like Indianapolis to make some hay.
Well, I mean, it's injuries on Cleveland as well that you know, I don't think Mitch
can do it by himself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Greenberg, we got to run, brother. We got a hard out with this Nats game coming. Thank you, buddy.
Love you. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Give him a follow at N Greenberg. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Short show today. Nats baseball coming up in just moments, man. Hopefully, folks are heading out to the park. It's a beautiful day, and it's been nothing but rain and weirdness for a few days. So,
yep.
Hopefully, everybody enjoys it. What do you got cooking on a short show day, B?
I gotta go to the Ashburn for a quick meeting, and then come back and meet Bees. We go and ride.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah. I was with Bees last night, and he didn't think he was going to the game, and then last minute he ended up going to the game, and he's been trying to train for the game, and then he had a couple of beers, and I was like, "You're all over the place, dude."
Dude, yeah, you know how it is.
Yeah, I tell people when I have to work a game, and then I have to work post game. Obviously, I don't drink. And when I run into people and it's, like, clear that I don't have beers, like, just fans of the program, whatever. Like, Drew was there. Our boy Scarence Terrence was there. They all look at me sideways when when I'm not boozing at a ball game.
You look like you've been boozing anyway, though.
No,
you
didn't.
You just have that look.
No, I didn't. You're
I didn't say you did. I say you look. That's an everyday thing.
That's my it's my joy to vive. I had some serious grown-up stuff to do because we don't get a lot of daytimes to ourselves just with the nature of the show from 10 to 2. I got to go to Orsman Fairfax Toyota, pick up Lauren's car, and then the dentist, and then pick up the kids. Pray for me, B.
Hey, man, that's your job.
Let's make some bets. I did call a Protus goal last night, but they did not win.
I got the Florida Panthers.
Okay. I don't hate that, Jeffrey.
Maple Leafs.
Ooh, heads up in the aquarium. Landini?
I'm taking the over in the Nats-Guardians game.
I like that.
What is the over?
9.
Yeah, they expect them to score a lot of points, huh?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of runs. I said it the other night. I'm taking the Celtics tonight. They missed 45 threes. They're not doing it again.
All right, I'm going to take the Knicks. Well, plus 10.5.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Thank you to John Walton for joining the program. Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining the program. Nats Baseball is next.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game.
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.